Hello, everybody. This is Cody Bateman. Welcome to Promptings with Cody B., yet another episode. Today, I've got a very, very special guest to join us today. Her name is Margie Alaprandi. If you're in the network marketing profession, you've probably heard of her. She's an author, international speaker, and trainer. She's definitely one of the biggest icons in the network marketing industry. She began her career on very humble terms. She was a music teacher, a struggling single mom. When she started, she achieved a five-figure monthly income within her first year. She became a millionaire within 3 years. And that was a long, long, long time ago. Today, she's in the top 1% of network marketing producers in the world, been in the profession for over 35 years. Her story's been featured in the movies Pass It On Today and Go for No, and in numerous books and publications, including Think and Grow Rich for Women. Margie is the co-founder of a philanthropic organization called Women United for Change. This helps women across the globe step into their full power and purpose. She's the mother of four children, Sean, Nicole, Todd, and Ashley. She has 11 grandchildren and splits her time between Salt Lake, San Diego, and Colorado with her husband, Ray. Please help me welcome to the show a very, very dear friend, my first mentor in the direct sales profession, the one and only Margie Alaprandi. And there she is, the one and only Margie Alaprandi. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome, my friend. Man, I love being with you and creating with you.
Well, it's so good to see you. You always have that bright, cheery, smiley face, and you always look like a million bucks. And my goodness, our listeners are in for a show today. You better have your seatbelts on for this girl, because I'll tell you what. So first of all, Margie, how are you? You're in San Diego today.
And how's San Diego going? Right now. Yes, yes. Things are great, man. I'm watching your family grow. My family's growing. I've known Cody Bateman since he was 10 years old. So I've got some serious history with this guy. And, you know, there are a few people that I admire, respect, and trust. Like I do you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. The feelings are certainly mutual. It's kind of interesting. Two interviews in a row. Last week, we had on Lori Smith, who I went to high school with. And this week, we have you on. We grew up in the same neighborhood. And
we did.
And then our paths crossed a little bit later as we got into the same industry, into the direct sales industry.
Yes.
And that was forever ago. That was a lot of years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And so exciting to see what time can do with an inspired idea. I mean, I've just always been so blown away by your level of creativity and your ability to articulate really lofty principles into a very understandable and implementable way. I mean, this is just one of your gifts. And as I've watched you, oh my gosh, I remember, I don't know, like 10 or 15 years ago, hearing something like, you know what Cody Bateman's got going on? Like, look what he's doing. And I started hearing things like, you know, you and your company that have created a platform for people to easily and routinely respond to their promptings, right? That you're the number one client of the United States postal system in the first class shipping. Like, I start hearing these things and then I see you on stage. I watch your impact and I watch how you live. You live this information. You live this message. It just makes me so proud of you. I'm just so grateful.
Well, thank you. I tell people all the time I had a good mentor. Margie Alaprandi was one of my first mentors in the direct sales industry. And Margie, you were always larger than life to me. I mean, I remember, you know, when we first, you know, met in our professional life.
Yeah.
You know, we grew up in the same neighborhood, and I was a little bit younger than you, so I was just the snot-nosed kid down the road. But later on, you know, we kind of met, and you had already established yourself in the direct sales industry, are already a big leader. You were 2 or 3 years in. But, yeah. And I think you had already made your first $1 million when
we met. I think so.
But you were large. You were always larger in life to me. I had a degree in marketing. I did a big internship and I worked at a big ad agency in New York. And I thought I was hot stuff. I was a young 25-year-old with a little bit of corporate experience with the big companies, and I thought I was super cool. Man, I met you and I learned how much I didn't know, you know, about direct sales actually, and how the direct sales profession works. And it was just so fun to, you know, to get off and running with you as a mentor. And over the years, you continue to be that. So
thank you. We mutually mentor each other, Cody.
Yeah.
I know that we've had conversations that we've only had with each other. And that's special. And I've known you long enough to see, you know, life always has its ups and downs. And you learn a lot about a person's character when you observe how they navigate that. And I just could not.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, because one of the cool things that I always love to brag on you about is the fact that you stayed with one company or one entity at least for ever.
34 years
and
pretty dang loyal.
And that's quite a story. It's quite a story for anybody that's in the direct sales space. Your story is quite a story, because talk about, you know, living through ups and downs and staying the course and continuing in the good days and the bad. You like rebuild an entire organization like 3 times or something like that?
Yes, you remember the story. Through no fault of my own in those early days, and series of events, maybe a podcast for another time. But yeah, I literally rebuilt my business from scratch 3 times. And anybody that's been in this space knows how much of yourself you give when you build. And to be able to trundle to your feet again with worn out tools, as Rudyard Kipling says, and to build again and to somehow not become jaded in the process.
How do you do that? Like, seriously, I mean, because I know the storms you went through, and we won't go into the detail of that.
Right.
You went through some of the craziest storms anybody could go through, but you stayed the course. You kept going. So, like, how do you do it?
Completely a story that I had not planned to share at all. But Cody, I just went through it again. And so now I can remember. I remember the process. So let me tell the most recent story and how I navigate the ups and the down times, the starting over.
Yeah.
Right? What I tell myself, the lenses that I look through, is that we always have that reset button, and the past does not equal the future. So there are those things that are kind of like mantras. They become the lenses I see through, that, you know, it's never over till it's over. But recently our company launched in India. I was first on the scene, one of the first on the scene, a real pioneer. And through, you know, legislative things in India and the pandemic, it just didn't start moving very quickly. So I've been there now 5 times, and I was getting a little tired, and I know my people were tired. And, you know, for thousands that were enrolled, or at least 1,000, maybe there were 5 or 6 remaining active, right? And this is a time when you say, you got to know when to hold them. You got to know when to fold them.
Yep.
I had a prompting that I needed to get myself to India, even tired like I was. It was while I was there that I got confirmation upon confirmation upon confirmation that I had it in me to start again. I mean, I was kind of thinking, how many, like, I should be retired by most people's standards. am I really going to start again? And here's what my psychology was. Instead of looking at what I didn't have, I looked at what was right. And I saw that maybe there were only five. Maybe there were only five people out of 1,000, but they were loyal. They were dedicated. They know the plan. They know the products. They're living it. They are the brand. And I'm like, that's not nothing. And wow. From there, I reconnected with my vision. I breathed that vision into them again. Gradually, they caught it again. And honey, I can already see the results. This is maybe just like 2 months ago, and I can already see the results of that choice, the tenacity to say, and the humility to say, I'll start again.
You know, it's interesting. It's I've gone from being the interviewer to being a listener right now, listening to your story, because, you know, one of the producers of our show, we were just talking before this show started, we're having some challenges with technology with our company. And it was one of those frustration moments, you know, it's like, how many times do we have to,
you know,
and you go, it's like, how are we going to get through this? And I got to go do a podcast show, you know, and I got to get myself. So it's like, it's really refreshing to hear that everybody goes through that, no matter how successful you are, no matter how bright
long you've been doing it. Right.
Yeah. It's just, it's life. It's part of life. It's what happens. And just love your perspective on that. Well, speaking of promptings, you know, you mentioned some stories about acting on promptings. I always like to ask, and I especially want to ask you, you know, what was a significant, I want to ask you two questions.
Okay.
What was a significant prompting in your life that you ignored, and what were the consequences of it? And then I'll go to the next question.
But I'd really
to hear that.
First of all, I have to tell you how completely and deeply moved I am by the word promptings at all. Because I believe that we all want to live a life that's more connected to our divine purpose. And you are the one that has opened this conversation to the world. You, Cody Bateman, have opened this conversation, and you've created platforms. I mean, you've done so much. And every time I even hear the word promptings, it makes me a little bit emotional. So I'm so happy that you've claimed that space. All right. So a prompting that I ignored, crazy, because it's my belief that when these promptings come in, and I love your promptings loop, right? Like the promptings loop of the inner and the outer suggestions that can come into us. But I believe that most often they're intuitive hits. I believe they're divinely planted in us. And I also have learned this. They have an expiration date. When a prompting comes to you, you don't have forever to act on it. I'll tell you one story. So I'm in the health and wellness profession. So I've always been very drawn to Andrew Weil. And I just, every time I would hear him speak, I'm like, we align. We got to get together. And I would think, I got to reach out to him. And then either because I got busy or maybe a little intimidated or, well, let me think about it for a day so I know exactly what I want to say when I reach out. I didn't. And this was one of those promptings, honey, that continued to come. Like 3 months later, reach out to Andrew Weil. 6 months later, reach out to Andrew Weil. It's like, it kept coming in like it was mine to do. Guess what? I didn't for one reason or another. And then one day I was like, I'm picking up the phone. I'm calling him today. He'd passed away.
Oh.
Who knows how the world may have been blessed by us collaborating and who knows how many millions. I mean, there's a reason that prompting kept coming.
Yeah.
And I ignored it. Live with the consequence, right?
Yeah.
We
say all the time, when you have a prompting, just act on it. You
immediately.
Know, say that all the time. Just act on it. You know, it's such an important thing. So let's go the other way, because I know that you're a master at acting on promptings. I've seen you do it over and over again, but let's take the question that direction. You know, looking back on your life, you've had very significant forks in the road, like everybody. And usually promptings will guide you to the right direction. So let's talk about a significant prompting or promptings that you actually acted on, and how did it transform your life?
Wow. I just love this question so much, Cody. So I actually can think of a couple that the result of me acting on them, having the courage to act on them and acting on them in an expeditious manner, impacted thousands, if not millions, of lives in a very significant way. So I guess the first one I would share is when I was building my business. I was single mom, three little kids, you know, you'd come over to the house, we'd work on projects together. And those three little kids eventually became four, right? By the time you were in.
That's right.
By the time our worlds joined again. Yeah. So I had those four children, and it was very demanding. Being a single mom, building a full-time business, back in the day, you had to leave. You had to go do home meetings. You had to meet in coffee shops. Like, you couldn't build a business from the palm of your hand. So I was on my way to a meeting, and my son, Todd, who at the time was probably 2.5 or 3, came running out after me crying. I'd said goodbye. They were in their jammies. Grandma was there tending them. He came out sobbing, "Mommy, don't go. Don't go. Don't go, Mommy, don't go." So I pulled over my car. I got out of the car. He was crying. What he couldn't see is that I was too. This was a moment when I was particularly exhausted and wondering if and when and how, what was it going to pay off? Wondering if the cost of being away from my children of an evening was getting too great. Was I ruining them, right? All of those feelings came flooding in as I picked him up and cuddled him in my arms. Something inside of me said, you know, you could cancel that meeting. There are probably going to only be a handful of people show up anyway. You should, you know, maybe you should stay. But the prompting side of me said, this is a chance to demonstrate courage to your son. So as I picked him up through tears, I just said, Todd, please, please go inside. Be a big boy. I've got to go. And someday I'll take you everywhere I go. Now, I look at who my children have become and how they were watching, observing character, observing a mom who wouldn't quit, a mom who got scrappy, a mom who loved people, a mom who kept showing up no matter what, right? They'd observed that. Because of acting on that prompting, I fully believe that my children are different humans today because I had the courage to say, even though it doesn't make sense, the prompting says, get to that meeting. I don't even remember that meeting. I don't even know what came out of it. But I do know my children saw conviction, commitment, resolve. And it was over 2 hours.
I get the chills listening to this because I know who Todd is today. You know, I've seen him today. And it's like, as I listen to that story, I'm thinking there was a moment of mother's tough love that created strength in that little boy and that's significantly part of what makes him the success he is today. I think just outside looking in.
I think so too. All the while I'm wondering if I'm ruining my family by pursuing this dream of a home-based business, right? I wonder if I'm ruining them. And now that I see who they've become.
Yeah.
And through humility, I say, it's not because, it's not in spite of, it's because of me being an entrepreneurial mom to some degree, right? They come in amazing, but to some degree, yeah.
Well, you certainly are a family woman. I mean, your family is everything to you, and it's really fun to watch that whole process. In fact, man, it wasn't that long ago. I swear it was only a couple of years ago. You can tell me how many years it's been, but I swear it was only 4 or 5 years ago that you and I were having a conversation and you were about to have your first grandchild.
That's it. 5 years ago.
And you have 11 now.
I have 11.
Like, how did that happen? How did you go from because we already had a couple of grandkids and we hadn't had any yet.
I pulled ahead of you.
You pulled ahead of me. I've got 10, you have 11.
You were my inspiration, and I taught my kids duplication.
Yeah. There you go.
They learned it. They learned it in space.
That's funny. Well, listen, you know, I wanted to talk to you about that. It's interesting. My wife and I, Jody, was having this conversation just last night. We were talking about, aren't grandkids the coolest thing in the world? I mean, the grandchildren, you see the perfect moments. When you're a parent, you have to discipline and take care of and change diapers. And you're in it. So a lot of times you don't witness the perfect moments because you're too busy with being a mother.
Survival.
Right. But as a grandparent, you kind of are set back and you get to see the perfect moments. And that's one of the joys that we have. Here's a we were talking about this last night. I want to get your perspective on this. I have a feeling I'm going to spark some emotion in you here.
Okay, I'm ready.
So with these little babies, as they come into the world and you hold and nurture these little teeny newborn children that are your grandchildren, and there's so much love and whatnot.
Yeah.
As you look at these precious little souls, you think about, okay, what are the basic needs of that baby who turns into a toddler, who turns into a child?
Yeah.
What are the basic human needs that they have? Which are most important? Obviously, they need food, and they need shelter, and they need warmth, and they need love.
Yeah.
What's the most important thing that a child needs? What is the single most important thing that a child needs when they come into the world to survive?
It's so interesting because, you know, I mean, I hope our listeners know all of this is 100% unrehearsed.
Yeah.
Obviously, the basic needs. Without love, nobody can thrive. I mean, they really do need unconditional love. One of the most valuable things I think you can do for your children and grandchildren that will truly create a legacy. We're talking about legacy here. You know, a legacy of thinking big, a legacy of you can be, do, and have anything you set your mind to, right? Like if you can imbue that idea, listen, within you, you have everything you need to be, do, and have anything that you ever want. And in the process, you teach them to listen to their higher self. You teach them to tune in and listen to those promptings. Because they're not here to live your life or my life or their parents' life. They're here on their own purpose. They're here to fulfill a divine call, I believe, that's unique to them. And so the best thing you can do for them is to teach them to listen to that inner voice and then to let them know that as they do, they have everything they need to be, do, and have anything they want in life.
Well, no question. And when they're born into the world, their inner voice is loud and clear. It's amazing to watch little children as they grow up. They know who they are.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, they know exactly who they are. Isn't it interesting how a child, and I talk about this actually in the Promptings Process book, you know, a child will try 1,000 times to roll over before they roll over.
Yeah, they don't get discouraged.
1,000 times to crawl before they crawl, 1,000 times to walk before they walk.
Yeah.
They're falling down 1,000 times before they walk, but it never crosses their mind that they're not going to walk.
Yeah.
Ever.
They don't let the failure define them at all.
Right. So, I think that's interesting. But one of the things that Jody said, and I think you kind of said the same thing, because you know, many of the smart people, Maslow's hierarchy of needs kind of thing. You need basic food and shelter and things before you can focus on anything else.
Self-actualization.
Self-actualization. But I was talking to Jody last night and we were talking about this and it was like, okay, so the concept is that child needs food, you know, food and warmth and
shelter. Yeah.
Shelter before anything else. And Jody said, no, the child needs two things. The child needs to love and be loved before anything else. That's her theory.
Yeah.
A newborn needs to, and it's interesting how she said it, because she said that baby needs to love.
Yeah.
Not just be loved. That baby needs to love. Do you feel love when you hold a baby?
Yeah.
I mean, that baby needs to love and be loved before it needs anything else. And I thought, wow. Now, that would be a big conversation for a lot of
people. You married up, Cody Bateman. You married up.
Yeah, I mean,
she's brilliant.
And let's think about how that continues through life. So we're basically saying, if we really dummy it down and super simplify the conversation, humanity, human beings need food, shelter, and love.
Yeah.
It really comes down to those three things. They need food. And, you know, there's all kinds of other things you need, but it triggers down to those three things, food,
love,
shelter, and love.
Yeah.
So
physical needs and love. Yeah.
And which is most important?
Yeah.
See,
you got to have the love. I know you've heard about the studies where, like, perfectly healthy babies, if they've got the shelter and they've got the food and they haven't been held, caressed, loved, gazed into their eyes, even before their eyes can focus, if that hasn't happened, they haven't had the nurturing and the love, they turn their face to the wall and die. These are babies that are, you know, wet, well fed, right? Like this. Anyway, love is critical. It is, baby.
So let's take that to another example. You go over to India, and this is just one of many examples, things that you do. You go over to India, and I think you've been there 4 or 5 times in the last couple of years, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
You have a large organization of people from a different culture, different upbringing, different religious backgrounds and whatnot. And they're family to you now.
They're family to me. They are.
It's interesting, as you go over there and you bring your mentorship, a business opportunity, a chance for them to create income, which helps them to create, you know, put food on the table and shelter over their head and their dreams. But again, as you interact with your family from India, you're from Utah, Salt Lake City, and San Diego, and you go all the way across the world to India to a whole new place. What are the three basic things that those people need? Food, shelter, and love. And you bring a business that really allows you to be able to reciprocate love. You know, it's love and be loved. And isn't that what you feel most from them?
Yeah.
That feel most of what they need and feel most of what they give back to you.
Yes. Without question, these are some very special people. And of course, I love the tribes everywhere I go, that, you know, that the tribe that I might build in Russia or the tribe I might build in Southeast Asia or whatever. But there's something very special about these people in India, because their hearts are so open that it makes it easy to transfer, that it just keeps things simple and clean because the love can flow. And it is, in fact, love more than money that inspires the loyalty. You know, it sounds a bit cliche, but you know the statement, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. I have demonstrated to them that I love them, and I'm by their side, pre-revenue, revenue, and post-revenue. I am by their side. They know that, and their response is to reciprocate with incredible love coming back to me, and with loyalty.
Margie, I think one of the reasons that you have the staying power that you do, that you have the success story that you have, that you've rebuilt an organization several times with one entity, is because of one thing you just said, that the love and acceptance of people is more important than the money. So think of all you direct sales people out there. I want you to think about that statement for a second. To Margie Alaprandi, love and acceptance of people, being able to give love and receive love back from people, is far more important than any amount of money you will ever make. And that's why you're successful in this profession, in my humble opinion. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. Yeah.
I had a mentor, the late John Smart from Australia, who said, forget about the money, love the people, and the money truck will roll up and throw and leave you with abundance.
Yeah.
Forget about the money, love the people. The money truck will roll up right on time.
Well, Margie, we could go on all day long. You know, we have listeners that have schedules and they got to go off and do other things.
True.
I'll tell you what, it's certainly been a delight to sit here and have conversation with you. You've had the chance to travel the world many times. You've been on stages all over the world. You've impacted the lives literally of millions of people. You've had your successes and your failures along the way. And, you know, we spoke your bio before the show started, so people know, you know, all of the accomplishments. What is one thing, what would you be prompted right now to leave our listeners with a special message before we log off today? What's important for our listeners to hear from you with all of that experience right now?
So the promptings that we get, they are love. And we are one, right? There's no way to consider anything but the fact that we are one. As a human species, we're one with everything around us, right? And all of that really is love. And so while I was able to share kind of a big story, big stories that have big impact, and promptings I followed that impacted millions, my friends, the little ones that come to you as a nudge to reach out and share some love, share some appreciation when they come in, act on them immediately. There's a window associated with those nudges. And you have no idea what's happening on the other side, what's going on with that person. I have gotten very good and I'm extremely committed to responding to my promptings. And so, my piece of advice would be, yeah, there are big ones, but the statement is at Oscar Wilde, I forget who said, most men live lives of quiet desperation. We never know what quiet hurts and pains and struggles someone's having, but you know, there's a bigger essence, a divine power that does know. And when we get those promptings, we are being offered the opportunity to show up in someone's life and make a difference, to respond in a moment that's critical. And so I would say, yes, the big ones that result in big things, wonderful, amazing, keep doing those. But listen to those little nudges, because you never know when you're being called literally to be a savior in somebody's life.
Yeah, for sure. Well, there you have it, everybody. The one and only Margie Alaprandi. I told you, you need to put your seatbelts on for this one. She's, you know, like always, you bring such incredible energy and wisdom to everything you do. We love you dearly.
And I love you, Cody Bateman. Yeah. I'm so proud of what you're doing, what you've done. Literally hundreds of millions of people's lives have been enhanced because you've given people a platform to respond to their promptings.
Well, thank you, Margie. We certainly appreciate the words. And we're just getting started. We're not going to stop until the whole world listens. That's what our motto is around here. And we're just going to keep on sharing the message. So God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you all for tuning in. Come on back next week. We're going to keep putting the spread on the bread and we're going to make it happen. So God bless you all. Take care.
Love you.
Have a prompting, make sure you act. Take care, everybody.